You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town.
And from underneath a huge pile of blankets.
Okay. This is the Flopcast, episode 493.
On flopcast.net. Man, am I cold.
Kevin and Cornflake like to have coffee and cartoons, and so they turned on their microphone and made a Flopcast just for you. Might be sorry, they'll still turn your sad frown upside down. Coming at you live from Chicken Town.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
What's going on? What was that blanket thing?
Well, I noticed how warm it was outside today. Of course, we're well into October now, but there's still a few warm days happening. And I thought, man, I should go creeping into the ocean in Maine one last time.
Wow, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I did.
Okay.
Hours ago, I hopped in the ocean thinking this will be the last time I go in for the season. And it certainly will, because I am still trying to warm up.
Did this turn into like a David Hasselhoff rescue operation? Then they throw the blanket over you and give you a cup of something, you know? You always see the recovering people. It's a blanket and a cup.
That's exactly what I look like right now.
That's what you got? Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, all right. You're recovering now under a pile of blankets.
I am. So I'm recording from beneath a pile of blankets.
A pillow fort, if you will.
Yeah.
All right. Do whatever you need to do. Things are perfectly normal here at Chicken Town Studios. Oh, I got my flu shot today. That's something.
Tis the time of season.
Yeah, you know, because we all got our COVID shots, but you still need a flu shot. Good old-fashioned flu shot, you know?
Very true.
Everybody remember. The flu.
Well, you reminded me. I still got to get mine.
Go get it. All of you. And meanwhile, well, we've got some Backs of Life business today.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall be talking Backs of Life, Facts of Life. That's the show. But first, Cornflake, even though you're buried under blankets and you've just been rescued from the sea, I hope you still have a National Whatever Day.
Aw, no matter how cold I am, I couldn't fail you on the National Whatever Day front, especially when somebody who played a character in the TV show Mork and Mindy is having a birthday.
Who might that be?
Pamela Dauber is turning 70, as in Mindy herself. Her birthday is on October 18th.
All right, Pam Dauber, really perfect in that role, the perfect counterpart to, insane Robin Williams Mork. And I know she did a sitcom called My Sister Sam after that, and I have not seen her since. So it's been 30 plus years. I have no idea whatever happened to Pam Dauber.
Yeah, well, not much since My Sister Sam, actually. But one of the things that I never realized about her, because of course my first memory of her is from watching, I think it was syndicated episodes of Mork and Mindy when I was little, was her as Mindy. I don't remember seeing her in anything before that. And it turns out she didn't have any prior acting experience. She still had screen tested for something else that was going to be on ABC. She was screen testing for the role of Tabitha in the spinoff of Bewitched. And
oh, right, right.
She didn't get the role, but they loved her so much that they basically kept her around until they could find a role for her, plunked her into Mork and Mindy.
Yeah, that worked.
She didn't even audition for it. They just said, you're going to be in this show.
Yeah, it was a phenomenon in its time. That show was massive, and it wasn't around for too long, just a few years. It was weird because it was sort of a Happy Days spinoff, even though, you know, Mork appeared on Happy Days, which was set in the 50s. Then when he got his own show, Mork and Mindy, that was set in modern times. So that was like late 70s, early 80s, with no explanation for the jump in time. But I guess it's all, you know, supernatural alien comedy nonsense, so you can just brush it off as, all right, whatever. Goofy aliens can time travel, I suppose.
They can time travel and they age differently.
Oh, they sure do. Have you seen their son?
Yes. He aged backwards, right?
Yeah, they had a son, Mork and Mindy, on the show who hatched out of a giant egg, and it was comedian Jonathan Winters, who was like Robin Williams' comedy hero, because he was an improv guy, Jonathan Winters, who was way older than Robin Williams and Pam Dauber. And they just explained that on Ork, on the planet Ork, you age backwards. And let's just try not too hard to think about that.
It was very weird, but I've not seen that episode in years, and I still remember it, what, decades later.
Oh, we never forgot around here.
That episode left a mark.
Do you remember his name, the character's name?
No, I don't remember.
Jonathan Winters, as the baby of Mark and Mindy, was named Mirth.
Right.
It was based on the M was from Mork and Mindy, since they both had M names, and then Earth, because they were on Earth. So they named the kid, by kid I mean, you know, elderly man, Mirth. I say elderly. He was probably not as old as he seemed to me back then, but certainly way older than Robin Williams. So do you have any idea what Pam Dauber has been up to in the last 30 plus years?
Well, I can say that back in 2014, she did work together with Robin Williams for a guest appearance of his comedy series, The Crazy Ones. And since then, I think the last time she turned up was in 2016, making a guest appearance on The Odd Couple. She paid tribute to Gary Marshall on that, along with Ron Howard and Penny Marshall and Marion Ross.
Oh, wow. This was one of those like revamp versions of The Odd Couple?
Yep.
All right. Well, I hope she's doing well.
We wish her a happy 70th.
I'm sure it was a difficult birth process, although I think it was Mork that actually laid the egg.
Yeah, as I recall, it was Mork.
Yeah, all right, so she had the easy part then.
She had it easy.
All right, Mindy can just relax and watch her freakish, this bizarre giant alien egg, horrifying horror movie birth process take place. I'm not sure as a nation that we've completely healed from the birth of Mirth.
Well, you know how terrible I am at remembering things, and I remember that episode very well.
Well, yeah, that was scarring to a generation. And poor Pam, she was right there at ground zero for the whole thing.
It totally made me think that you could birth a senior citizen. It freaked me out.
Well, maybe someday.
Hashtag life goals.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, happy birthday, Pam. We shall never speak of this again.
I love how weird National Whatever Day got thanks to there being a Mork and Mindy birthday.
Yep.
Love it.
Well, let's move on quickly to the main business of today's show, of course, is The Backs of Life. We are falling behind on The Backs of Life. It's been a couple of months, I think.
Well, we're going to come roaring back now.
Here we do. We're getting all caught up because this is a two-parter, sort of, that we're covering today. So The Backs of Life, as a reminder, this is our project for the year, is we are looking at every backdoor pilot episode of the classic 80s sitcom, The Facts of Life. Because there are several of them. They kept trying to launch new spin-off series out of The Facts of Life. It never worked, but man, it's fun to revisit these goofy backdoor pilot episodes. This is The Backs of Life, episode 6. We are looking at a two-parter. This was a double episode, season 4, episodes 23 and 24, which together are called Graduation.
This was the finale of season 4. Right?
Yeah, this was the end of season 4. They aired both these episodes. I believe it aired just as one single double-length episode. And then in syndication for reruns, it was broken into two episodes. But it was just collectively called Graduation. It aired in one night. That magic night was May 4th, 1983.
Not to be confused with The Graduate. Because I think that's the name of an episode in a later season.
Oh, interesting.
Because I was looking it up and I was like, wait a minute, that's not the episode we're supposed to be watching.
You very nearly watched the wrong episode.
Yeah, but I caught myself.
I kind of wish that happened because that would have been funny. We could have had a very awkward conversation.
That's me always ruining comedy, Kevin. That's just what I do.
That's our goal around here. Let's get into it then. So yeah, this is Graduation, as in this is Blair and Joe are graduating from high school, graduating from Eastland.
And graduating from their job in the kitchen.
Well, yeah, that goes along with theoretically they would be leaving where they've been forced to work in the kitchen with Mrs. Garrett for the last several years because of all the trouble they got into. So this is their big two-part graduation episode. That's the wacky plot. So all the girls are getting ready for it's the day before graduation as the episode begins. And I was surprised by how involved in graduation Tootie and Natalie are.
Yeah.
It seems like they're practically in charge of the whole thing. Tootie and Natalie were in charge of tickets and seating and diplomas and coaching all the graduating girls on how the procession would work. I didn't see any adults doing anything.
Yeah.
Except Mrs. Garrett, who was trying to frantically, you know, get all the food ready.
Yeah. Mrs. Garrett, poor Mrs. G, was a one-woman army in getting all the food ready. And she was very stressed out about it.
Everybody was completely freaked out through this whole thing, to the point where it got annoying.
Yeah, it was stressful just to watch it. You're right.
Everybody was just crying and screaming nonstop. I couldn't take it.
Except Alexandra.
Yeah, we meet a few new girls in this episode. So before we get to Alexandra, the first new girl that we encounter is Emily, because Blair comes in with a girl named Emily. Another one of the girls who's graduating.
And Blair is giving fashion advice.
Yes, yes. Blair's helping her prepare. And so Emily was played by Laura Summer. I looked up all the guest actors, of course. And Laura has a bunch of credits. Nothing really popped out at me that I'd recognize her from, but a lot of acting credits and a lot of voice credits. She did a lot of voice work on The Real Ghostbusters back in the 80s. She also did a lot of voices for the Garfield cartoons. And Digimon, which I've never seen, I know nothing about, but she also did a lot of Digimon cartoons, including, like, last year.
Oh.
She has credits up until 2020 doing Digimon.
I would have never guessed.
Yeah, so a busy lady in the world of voice acting. But that was Emily, which we just get a couple of quick scenes with. But again, what's interesting about this backdoor pilot is that it doesn't feel like a backdoor pilot in the way that all the other ones that we've covered have.
Not in the least. I couldn't figure out what this was supposed to be a backdoor pilot for.
Yeah, it's very subtle. Because the other ones, it's like suddenly you're watching a whole different show. Because here's what this new show will be like. You know, the Boys Military Academy episodes that they did. And now we're going to see what Tootie's aunt's life is like. And here's Joe's cousin with her family. And, you know, all those other previous ones that we've done. This one is we're with the main cast and we're at the school. We're at the high school. So it seems like largely business as usual for the facts of life. Was this actually a backdoor pilot? And I think that yes, it was, but it was very subtle. And the presence of girls like Emily are examples of that. So there's a couple of things happening. The idea was, what if they could do a spin-off series set at Langley College? Because Blair and Joe, they're graduating and they're moving on to college at nearby Langley College. So they were introducing some new older girls who presumably would also be at Langley with them. And there's a new younger girl who's around as well, because Facts of Life will continue. And if Blair and Joe spin off to their own show, we're going to need to plug in a new girl or two back at Eastland. So that's what we're seeing over the course of this two-parter. So we get Blair and Emily, and Emily seems kind of awkward, kind of goofy, you know, so they're sort of setting her up to be sort of a character like that. So fine. And then meanwhile, yeah, there's Alex or Alexandra, who's helping out but not really helping with all the kitchen stuff with Mrs. Garrett. This is a younger girl, so she's still obviously going to be at Eastland. And she'd actually been around for a few episodes this season. She was introduced earlier in season 4. And if you noticed, at one point she mentions that she's a princess.
Yes.
And she is. She was introduced as a rich heiress type of a character.
Right. She's making comments about how she was in a kitchen once because she took a wrong turn in her castle.
Yeah. So you can see that they may have been kind of grooming her to be in the Blair type of a role, you know, had Blair moved on to a spinoff show.
I guess I can see that, yes.
Yeah, so that was Alex. And yeah, cute young girl. She has a lot of acting credits as well. I don't know that she's acted in recent years, but she did have a long list of stuff when I looked her up on IMDb. There's a show called Sisters in the 90s. That Swoozie Kurtz was on. I never saw this show, but she's on many, many episodes of that. So I think she was a regular or a semi-regular, plus lots of other stuff. Heather McAdam was the actress's name. But yeah, we meet Alex as well. That kitchen scene, for one thing, a lot of Jell-O is involved in this episode. That's one of the things Mrs. Garrett is frantically working on, Jell-O
So many Jell-O molds. 15.
The plan is we're going to feed everybody Jell-O for graduation. That's how you celebrate.
I did not know that this was a traditional graduation food.
Oh, yeah. Evidently, in Peekskill, New York, graduation is all about Jell-O. I was surprised to see on the counter in the kitchen, you could actually see a box of Jell-O and with the brand name. And as Mrs. Garrett's carrying her grocery bag in, you could see Cheerios as well. So I was kind of surprised that the actual brand names were clear, because sometimes they really try to cover that stuff up.
Yeah.
In this case, there it is. You can read Jell-O pretty clearly. So I don't know if that was, if they'd cut a deal.
Could be.
Yeah, this whole show might have been sponsored by Jell-O secretly. Who knows?
That would explain a lot.
It would explain everything. I mean everything about the world, about my life, personally. Next, we have Roy. Delivery boy Roy shows up.
So disturbing.
This was a recurring character. Roy made several appearances on the Facts of Life in this era. And that was his thing, was he's just creepy, obnoxious, annoying bakery delivery boy. He'd always be dropping off bread and pastry and junk for Mrs. Garrett. And then he'd hit on Joe.
Yeah.
He was in love with Joe, and Joe could not stand Roy.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, this was an ongoing thing. There were several, several episodes where, look out, here comes Roy. Roy was played by Lauren Lester, who also has a lot of voice credits. This is another guy who went into cartoons and some DC Comics and Marvel Comics stuff. On Batman, the animated series, he was the voice of Robin.
No way.
Yeah, so that's an important, very important voice credit. And he also voiced Robin and Nightwing on some subsequent DC cartoons. He did the voice of Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. And on the Marvel side, in some of the Avengers cartoons, he also voiced Iron Fist.
Well, he was amazing in all of that, but cringeworthy Facts of Life.
But I saved for last, Cornflake, for you, the best voice credit. The New Kids on the Block cartoon from 1990, he's the voice of Jordan Knight.
No way. I guess I could see that.
One of the fake New Kids voices was this guy.
Wow.
So anyway, there he is. And when he sees Joe, he calls Joe my little cucumber.
Yeah.
That's very strange. I don't know where that came from. And then Joe responded with, don't call me vegetables.
Which is a reasonable objection, but the way she puts it is just so funny.
I don't know what happened there. Anyway, the worst part, though, is then Roy announces to Joe that he has a gift for her, a graduation gift, and then just grabs her and dips her down and plants a big kiss on her.
And it was supposed to be high comedy.
I mean, clearly against her will. This was assault.
Yeah.
And it just gets a big laugh, and then that's the end of the scene.
Yeah, I gotta say, I nearly dropped out at this point.
It was 1983, anything goes. Now we get another girl, another new girl pops up now, because now Blair was helping Emily before. Now she's helping another girl named Lisa with her shoes. Lisa was played by Pamela Cohn, and this was her only acting credit on IMDb.
That's her one moment of fame.
Yeah, I think she has a couple of producer credits as well. So again, presumably, if they'd got to do a college spinoff series, maybe she would have been on it. Now we get some parents arriving as well. Parents and family are arriving for the big graduation, starting with Rose Polnicek. That's Joe's mother, of course, who we've seen on a few different episodes over the years.
Right.
Rose, played by Claire Malice, and again, a ton of credits. Obviously, she worked a lot. Most interesting credit I noticed today, though, was she did an episode of The Incredible Hulk where David Banner went back to visit his family, like the actual Banner family, even though he's presumed dead. And she was, I believe she played his sister.
Oh.
So there's a weird credit from that era.
You could tell by watching her interact with Joe that she's got some acting chops.
Yeah, she was good. Meanwhile, Tootie is hugely upset through the whole episode, of course, because she realizes Joe and Blair are going away and things will never be the same. And Joe, trying to comfort her, reminds her that Langley College is only 20 minutes away.
Yeah, that doesn't really calm Tootie down at all.
Well, no, it doesn't work in this episode. But what's clever about that is they were really covering their bases, because this was, you know, sort of a backdoor pilot episode. This was kind of, here's how we could launch Joe and Blair into their own series. But also, if they don't get their own series, they're going to college only 20 minutes away. We can keep them on this show somehow if we need to. And it turned out that's exactly what happened.
That is what they did, yes.
Yeah, so pretty clever planning in that, all right, these girls are way old enough now that we cannot justify keeping them in high school. But if they're going to go to college, we'll keep them close by in case we need them on the show. Blair's cousin Jerry arrives next.
And now I remember having seen Jerry in a prior episode or two.
Yeah, Jerry was on a bunch of episodes. She was a recurring guest star over the years, played by Jerry Jewell, which is confusing because there's also that guy from The Muppet Show named Jerry Jewell.
Oh, but, good point.
But this is Jerry Jewell, woman, comedian, and actor. And here's Jerry showing up for the graduation, so that was nice. And then Blair's mother comes in next.
Good old Monica Warner.
Blair's mother, Monica, we've also met in many, many episodes over the years. Marge Doucet is the actress who played Blair's mother. Very funny, just as the rich, divorced mom. Meanwhile, we've got more trouble in the kitchen because here comes Roy again with more deliveries. Roy and Princess Alexandra come in with bags and boxes of pineapples.
A ludicrous amount of pineapple.
I like this. And it's a wacky mix-up that they thought that Mrs. Garrett wanted 100 pineapples. She did not. She wanted 100 apples to make pies with.
Pie apples.
Yeah, she wanted pie apples. I think the 100 pineapples should have gotten their own backdoor pilot episode and hopefully their own series. I would have watched that.
Yeah, but I know how that would have ended. It would have ended in a lot of pina coladas, I think.
Those pineapples were good. They were funny. They could act.
They were good-looking pineapples, I'll give you that.
There's another delivery right after that, a delivery of flowers for Blair. It's from her father, because with a note saying her father could not actually go to the graduation. He had to leave town on business, so he's not there. I was expecting that there'd be a surprise miracle appearance by the father at the actual graduation. But no, he didn't. They just let it go. The flowers were delivered by an actor named Alan Bardsley, who has just a handful of credits. So let's move on. Now here comes a big one. The next relative, next and final relative to arrive, of course, is Joe's father, Charlie Polnicek, played by the amazing Alex Rocco.
Yeah, Joe's dad.
He was in a bunch of episodes over the years, of course, and always great. A real character, like a real tough guy kind of character. In fact, he was in prison. They established that her father had recently gotten out of prison the first time he appeared on the show.
See, I'm glad you remember that because I forgot that part.
Oh, yeah. Now, just before the graduation, we get one more new girl shows up. This is all the girls are in their caps and gowns getting ready to walk into the graduation. And we see another girl named Bonnie. She's having trouble with her dress or her gown or something.
Oh, yeah. The hem has come undone.
Yeah, she's having a hem issue. So that's another new girl, Bonnie. And again, was the plan to have Bonnie be one of the girls at Langley? Yeah, probably. We've seen three new girls the same age as Blair and Joe now. Bonnie was played by Jill Mallory, who just has a handful of credits. Nothing too noteworthy popped out at me. We see Lisa again. Lisa was the girl who was having trouble with her shoes in the earlier scene.
Right, she broke her heel.
She's having more shoe trouble in this scene.
I gotta say, they found a very strange way to work these three girls in. It's like we're supposed to form some kind of connection with Bonnie just because, like, there's something wrong with the hem of her graduation gown. It's very, very weird.
We can all relate to that. But Lisa, poor Lisa. Scene one, it was all about shoes. Scene two for Lisa, also, not the same shoe problem. She's having a whole different shoe problem now with the heel of her shoe broke off. And
it's a new shoe crisis.
Tootie's going to super glue her shoe back together for her, I guess. Yeah, well, like, if this had gone to series, if there was a Langley College series, would Lisa have had a different shoe problem every week? I really hope so.
That is the stuff of comedy right there.
Now we've got Joe pacing back and forth, a nervous wreck because she's all worried about her valedictorian speech. And then we go into this weird flashback sequence.
Yeah, it is really weird because you hear people mumbling in the background whenever she has a flashback.
She's getting flashbacks, and they show actual flashbacks to older Facts of Life episodes where there's the girls, you know, a couple of years younger, and it's in black and white with like a weird pink fog all around on the edges of the screen.
Because when Jill remembers things, certainly she remembers them in black and white.
Yeah, well, it's so weird that it was in black and white. Like, wait a minute. Where... this happened like in 1981. This wasn't the Honeymooners back in the 50s. Why is this? So that was weird. I enjoyed the weird flashback sequence from Joe. Then we get Tootie, who again seems to be in charge of the entire graduation, even though she's a 14-year-old girl, is lecturing all the older girls about tassels on the left. Wear your tassel on your left as you enter the room. And then it was kind of a nice moment as she got to put Blair in the spotlight.
Yeah, she told everybody to be like Blair.
Blair loves the spotlight, and now Tootie's like, everybody look at Blair with her tassel. Did you do that? Do you remember doing the tassel thing?
Vaguely.
It's all a blur.
Do you?
Tootie wasn't there to scream at you to put the tassel on your left?
I wish she had been.
I was going to do the tassel thing, but I lost my tassel.
How did you? How?
I'm like a burlesque dancer having trouble with my tassels flying away from me, evidently.
Yours flew away?
Somewhere outside in the parking lot at some point, I noticed my tassel was gone. I had the cap, no tassel.
Oh, weird. See, if only we had graduated at the same time and had been friends, because I brought an extra tassel to my graduation.
Wow, see, you came prepared. If only the lipstick criminals had come to my graduation. If our local burlesque troupe had been there, they could have loaned me some tassels.
I would like to clarify that that's not why I brought an extra tassel to graduation.
You were packing all kinds of weird tassels at your graduation. Wow. Well, you know, Mrs. Garrett did say at one point, make sure the girls are wearing something underneath their gowns. Other than just their tassels, presumably.
So if we didn't know Mrs. G as well as we know Mrs. G, that would have seemed weird. But coming out of Mrs. G's mouth, that kind of makes sense.
What a dirty mind on Mrs. Garrett, evidently. Anyway.
Playful. Mrs. G's playful.
Okay, yeah, let's charitably put it that way. So now post-graduate, we don't see the actual graduation. We just see them about to enter the room. They didn't want to build a whole, you know, auditorium kind of a set. So we don't see the actual graduation.
Well, this is no surprise because we've seen them all at a dance where we never see them dancing either. So this is par for the course for Facts of Life.
We don't want any costly set building issues. So we keep it simple on the Facts of Life. So now we jump back to post-graduation back in the girls' bedroom over the kitchen. And Mrs. Garrett has gifts, graduation gifts, for Blair and Joe. Blair gets a sweater. Joe gets a geode, one of those weird rocks with the crystal inside it.
But it's geode facing side down. So at first, she opens her present, and it just looks like there's a rock in there.
At first, it was like a Charlie Brown Great Pumpkin Halloween.
All I got was this rock.
What I liked about this scene, though, is the wrapping paper on the gifts. It was, they actually had to tear open the boxes because often on sitcoms, the lid will be gift wrapped separate from the rest of the box and they just take the lid off. On TV shows, sometimes they'll wrap them like that because they have to do multiple takes.
Right.
And they don't want to have to, you know, keep resetting and rewrapping the gift. So it's just take the lid off and it's nice and simple. But they actually really did rip the wrapping paper off. So that was a rare touch of realism on the Facts of Life. Once again, Tootie's getting all upset about how they're not going to be all together again. I like that Joe suggests that they could all get together and see that new Star Wars picture.
That delighted me.
That was nice. I mean, this was 1983, so this was the year of Return of the Jedi.
I love that that got a reference.
Yeah, so there was a new Star Wars picture. I like that she called it a picture. It's such an old-timey picture. Then they start, weirdly, at the very end, they start talking about what if a movie was made about them. And they said Blair would be played by Candace Bergen.
At least that's what she hopes for.
That was a weird name to pull out as well. This is before Murphy Brown. So this is Candace Bergen was kind of between her film career and her soon-to-come sitcom career. But Blair was going to be played by Candace Bergen. Tootie announced that she would play herself, you know, because Tootie's the actor. Then all of them in agreement immediately announced that Joe should be played by Charles Bronson. Well, also, though, we're missing a girl because they never said who should play Natalie in a movie.
Good point.
So we got to figure this out right now. Who should have played? Oh, how about Molly Ringwald?
I agree.
They knew Molly. Molly was in school with them season one, but then she'd gone on to become a movie star. So weirdly, yeah, let's say Molly would play Natalie. Why not? Anyway, that's the end of season four. And of course, there was no Langley College spinoff coming out of this very subtle backdoor pilot two-parter. But maybe that's for the best, you know, because we had several more seasons to go. The Facts of Life was only, you know, less than halfway through its entire run at this point.
And I love Tootie and Natalie, but I just cannot picture a Facts of Life without Blair and Joe.
Yeah, that would have been very, very weird had that happened. So anyway, we had five more years of Facts of Life yet to come at this point. And of course, Blair and Joe and Natalie and Tootie were there for the whole run of the series yet to come. So there you go. It all worked out for the best. We're all winners, except for all those other girls, Bonnie and Emily and Lisa.
Lisa, who's probably having a problem with the shoes somewhere.
Lisa, you know, is out there somewhere stumbling around with her problem shoes. Absolutely. Now, Cornflake, that leaves us just one piece of business right now, and that is, you know, we rate these backdoor pilot episodes here on The Facts of Life. On a scale of 1 to 10, using our patented Tootie scale, how many Tooties do you give Graduation?
Call me crazy. I am giving this episode 10 Tooties.
You're going the full 10 Tooties. Wow, that's fantastic. I'm kind of torn. Because on the one hand, this is two full, real Facts of Life episodes with the whole cast. So how do you beat that? And on the other hand, I feel like in the spirit of backdoor pilots, this isn't really like a regular backdoor pilot.
Yeah, it's almost like it should get... All right, so on the one hand, I want to give it 10 Tooties, but on the other hand, I want to disqualify it. What say you?
I feel like should there be some Tootie deductions based on this not being a pure backdoor pilot?
That seems like a reasonable compromise.
Yeah. And so I feel like I want to go down to 8 Tooties, which is still a fantastic score.
Yeah.
Are you sticking with 10 or are you?
I am going to stick with 10 because I got what I wanted, regardless of whether or not this was supposed to be a backdoor pilot episode.
I completely understand that. Well, Cornflake, that is The Facts of Life Part 6, and we are not done. We have more Facts of Life yet to come in future episodes of the Flopcast. So sometime later this year, we shall do this again. Meanwhile, a couple of plugs before we wrap up. I've been on a couple of other podcasts this week that we want to direct people to. A couple of weeks ago when you were not here, we had as a special guest our friend Kevin Cafferty. Kevin does a couple of other podcasts, one of which is called Gleaming the Tube. It's Kevin and his buddy Mike, and every episode they review a movie that somehow involves skateboarding. It can be a movie all about skateboarding, or it can be a movie in which there just happens to be one very brief scene of skateboarding. As long as at some point there is some amount of skateboarding, they will cover it on Gleaming the Tube. How do you like that for a wacky premise for a podcast?
Well, I love that you're not going to get that anywhere else.
It's such a goofy premise, and they're very funny.
The world would be missing something without it.
Yeah, so even if you're not into skateboarding, because I am not into skateboarding.
I'm into watching people skateboard.
Well, there you go. I still really enjoy this show, and I was honored to be invited to be a guest on Gleaming the Tube. I appeared on Gleaming the Tube episode 28, which just came out a week or so ago. And this was a special episode because they were not reviewing a movie. We were actually reviewing an episode of a TV show, specifically an episode of Wonder Woman from back in the 70s.
They picked just the right person to have on the show.
I think they brought me in because they knew I love Wonder Woman, especially the Linda Carter 70s version of Wonder Woman. Yeah, there was an episode of Wonder Woman called The Skateboard Whiz, which did indeed involve skateboarding as well as lots of other crazy things. It's a crazy episode of Wonder Woman. The best part, though, is there's one scene where Wonder Woman does the spin, you know, and turns into Wonder Woman with the costume. Then she spins again and turns into Wonder Woman in a special skateboarding costume. It's Wonder Woman wearing a special Wonder Woman helmet and like elbow pads and gloves, and she hops on a skateboard and off she goes. maybe the most beautiful moment of the 70s.
And it requires two spins.
It's the double spin. Yeah, you spin once just to transform from Diana Prince into Wonder Woman. Then you spin again for the specialty skateboard costume. Try it. Give it a shot right now. I'll bet you could do that too.
Probably I could, were it not for all these blankets.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot. You're kind of compromised right now because you're still trying to warm up after your plunge into the Atlantic in the fall. Anyway, Gleaming the Tube, episode 28. We're talking Wonder Woman on a skateboard. Check that out. And right back here on the ESO Network, I was on Earth Station 1 this week, chatting with Mike and Mike for a segment all about the current Monkees tour. You know, the Monkees are on tour right now once again.
Oh, yeah, Mike and Mickey.
This is the Mike and Mickey Monkees Farewell Tour. And the tour just rolled through Atlanta last week. So Mike and Mike from Earth Station 1, they both went and saw the Monkees. And I joined them because, you know, I'm a Monkees super fan. And we had a little monkey talk on Earth Station 1. That's episode 598. That is out now as well. So please do check out those shows. Meanwhile, Cornflake, let's wrap up this show.
Let's do that. You can find us at flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. And on Instagram, where we are the_flopcast. If and when you get a minute, we would love if you went over to Apple Podcasts and left us a rating and or a review. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Next time the Sponge Awareness Foundation releases an album, as we occasionally do, you know, every 10, 20 years or so, we're going to do a concept album. It's just going to be all about Lisa and her shoe problems.
Looking forward to that.
You know it. Cornflake, thanks for another Backs of Life episode of the Flopcast. Thank you all for joining us for some silly 1980s sitcom talk. As always, kids, you know, be safe, be kind, be silly. And remember, the Backs of Life are all about you. We'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Welcome to the Ring of Thunder, the most electrifying wrestling podcast in the Thunderverse and the ESO Network. From the power of the people's host, Sexy Thor, critics say, it doesn't matter what the critics say. You already know you're in for a hammer-swinging, burrito-eating, mic-blazing, hair-raising time with this weekly wrestling adventure. WWE, AEW, Impact, and whatever else I can possibly fit. If you hear what the Thunder is talking.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Dr. Geek here with another reminder that the ESO Network is pro-science and pro-vaccine. We urge you to be a superhero and protect yourself, your family, and your fellow geeks around the world. Don't be fooled by the forces of evil and their anti-science misinformation campaign. Consult the latest CDC guidelines, your doctor, and get the COVID vaccine today.
Okay, Cornflake, this is the secret after show, of course. What's going on?
Secret after show. Well, you may think, since last episode, all I've been doing is catching up on back episodes of Live from Daryl's House, as in Daryl Hall, because we were talking about Daryl Hall's birthday last week, and you'd be mostly right, but I'd fallen behind recently on my podcast listening. And one of the podcasts I really like is the Off Menu podcast with Ed Gamble and James Acaster. They have a different comedian on each week, and they quiz whatever comedian is joining them on what their dream meal would be if they could go to any restaurant and get any meal. And they go through all the different courses of the meal. But I want to specifically call out one of the more recent episodes, which has another favorite comedian of mine on it, and that's Bob Mortimer.
What would your one dream meal be? Say you're a guest on this show. You have to pick your dream meal. What is it?
Oh, I'd have to have maybe about 15 Jell-O molds with fruit in them.
You're dreaming of being at the Facts of Life graduation.
What about you?
I guess I just want 100 pineapples.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the T Public store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.